This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
I'm starting a message this morning, really preaching a message this morning, entitled Arise. Someone say Arise. And I've taught on this before, but yesterday... Did you want me to talk about this right now? No? Okay, sounds good. So yesterday I was studying and preparing, and I really didn't have this on my radar at all. I've taught about Arise and kind of preached messages on this a couple of times, I think. But God just kind of got a hold of me and showed me some things that kind of jumped off the page. And so we're going to... get into that this morning, but I really believe that it's going to help you. It's going to help your family, going to help your situation. I believe that the Word of God is living and powerful. So, and again, this is fresh. This is fresh. Just last night, God really began to download some of this stuff. So I believe it's going to help you. I believe God is going to bring healing to many situations that are here. And so if you open your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 9, we're going to read verses 2. And then 5 through 8. We're going to read verses 2 and then 5 through 8. Starting with verse 2. Then behold, they brought to Jesus, a paralytic or a paralyzed man lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Sons, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." And then verse 5 through 8. Jesus said, "For which is easier?" You know what? I'm just going to read. We'll just read right through. We'll read verses 3 all the way through. So, "Sons, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." Verse 3. "And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, 'This man blasphemes.'" Isn't it amazing that religious people were thinking that Jesus himself was blaspheming? How can God blaspheme? You know what I mean? He's God. But verse 4. "But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier?'" Someone say easier. "Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed and go to your house." And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitudes saw it, they marveled and glorified God. Notice the multitudes saw it. And then they marveled and glorified God. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to minister your word this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll lead us, that you'll guide us, that you'll bring revelation of truth that makes free. Father, I thank you that your anointing will destroy the yoke and removes the burden. And God, we will be careful to give you all the glory and all the praise for every sign and wonder, healing, deliverance. Father, whatever's going on in people, we ask you to minister to them specifically, because each one of them are so valuable, so significant to you. And God, we give you the praise and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Amanda. Appreciate it. One more time, say arise. All right. So many times I'll preach, and I may preach a little bit today, but I think I'm going to do some more teaching. And I'm going to ask you to really just help me in that. So if you don't maybe see me demonstrating or preaching, being as demonstrative as I normally am, it's okay, because teaching can be as anointed as preaching, amen? And preaching can be as anointed as teaching. They're both needed. That's why Jesus went about teaching, preaching, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And so here we go. Verse number 2 shows us something very important. But I still expect you to be excited. Come on, somebody, right? Okay, y'all excited to be here? Glad to be here? Okay, cool. I heard more claps than shouts. You guys excited to be here? Okay, cool. Still celebration, you know? So, all right, so verse 2 shows us this, that these men brought a paralyzed man to Jesus. And you could say paralysis. So when I talk about the paralyzed man, I'm really talking about a paralyzed situation in your life. Paralysis means something that was functioning is no longer functioning. So what we're going to be talking about today is areas of our lives that are paralyzed, that are dysfunctional, that used to maybe be functioning but are no longer functioning. Maybe that is emotionally. There's some things not functioning in you the way that they should. Maybe it's marriage. There's some things not functioning the way that they should in your marriage. It could be financial. Maybe some things are not functioning in your finances the way that you know they should be. God's promises to you, but yet you're experiencing this different part, different area of your life, and so there's dysfunction. Things are not functioning the way that they should, and that is what the enemy wants for the Christian and the non-Christian. He wants everybody to be operating in dysfunction because he himself is dysfunctional, and so that's what he wants. So verse 2 shows us these men brought the paralyzed man into the presence of Jesus, and so this shows us something very simple, but something very profound and powerful. That when the enemy is attacking you, this verse number 2 shows us that when they brought the man to Jesus, when the enemy is attacking you and seems to be causing paralysis in your life or walk with God in any area, the first thing you do is bring the issue to Jesus. Amen? Bring the issue to Jesus. Don't let that be too simple. We've got to bring whatever issue is going on in our life to Jesus. Don't let the issue defeat you. Don't let it depress you. Don't let it overwhelm you. Simply bring the issue to Jesus. Don't take the issue to your friend, because your friend doesn't always have the right thing to say. They don't always have the right advice or the wisdom. In fact, sometimes you call a friend and say, a lady calls another lady and she's like, "Girl, let me tell you how bad it is." And before she could even get it out, the other friend is like, "Child, please, let me tell you how my life is worse than yours." You know, I mean, you call some people and they're just going to be negative. They're just going to throw doubt and unbelief and all kinds of negativity your way. So you don't want to take your issue to a friend many times. I mean, if you've got a faith friend, take it to a friend. But for the most part, you can't do that, because people are not always going to have your answer. If you believe it, say amen. People are not always going to have your answer, and sometimes people are just having a negative bent, and so they're going to give you why it didn't work for them and why you should quit and why you should give up. You can't listen to people, and if you watch the news, come on, somebody, it's bad and it's getting worse, right? Everything, political, just getting worse. This, financial, getting worse. Thank God you don't have to go to the world to get your answers, to get things fixed in your life. Thank God you can still bring issues to Jesus. Amen. And the Bible says that Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And the Bible says that, let me say this. So you don't want to take it to friends all the time. Sometimes you can't even take your issues to family, because family has a capacity, and though they want to help and though they love, many times they don't always have what it takes to get you over the issue that you're dealing with. Doesn't mean family can't help, but primarily we are not to look to friends, we are not to look to family, we're not to take our issues to them, because undoubtedly family and friends will let you down. So that's why we must take it to Jesus. Take the issues in our life to Jesus. How about this? Don't take your issue to the bar. Don't take your issue to the casino, because the casino and the bar don't have the answers, but Jesus always does. Amen. So this is what God said to me, and I want you to kind of really wrap your faith around this. This is what God said as I was reading this. He said, paralyzed, let me just talk just for a second about this, paralyzed things. Satan tries to paralyze with fear. He'll try to paralyze you from moving forward in God's plan for your life, moving forward in what God wants for your life, for your finances, for your walk with God, with all this. He will try to paralyze. Let me talk for a second about paralyzed things. What I mean by paralyzed things, as I said before, things that are not functioning, things that are not working. There's a few things more frustrating and at times overwhelming than when you really need something to function and it won't. Have you ever been almost late to an appointment, and for whatever reason, your car decides at that moment not to function? Right? It can say, "Are y'all alive?" You've had something like that happen, right? Okay, so whether it's your car, whether it's a washing machine, you've got a big interview the next day, and the washer goes haywire. You know what I mean? It's just like, why in the world, on the most important day, would you not function? You're made to function. I feel like Happy Gilmore. Go to your home, ball. Like, you know what I mean? Like you're made to go in the hole. Go to your home, ball. Like in other words, why do these things dysfunction at the time that we really need them the most? And it can be so frustrating when what you know should be working, paid good money for something, did it right, and it's still not functioning. The enemy will try to bring things against us, against our life, and cause issues and cause things not to function. And it's very frustrating when things that you know should be working are not working. And so this is what this message is about, is that if you find an area of your life that is not working, that is not functioning, if marriage isn't working, if your emotions just have not been working, if relationships aren't working, finances just aren't working the way you know they should, and because of that, when things are not working, it can be easy to be discouraged. How many of you know what I'm talking about? When things aren't functioning, it can be easy to be discouraged and easy to be down, but God is saying to us this morning, it is time to bring the issue to Jesus. There's not one issue that Jesus cannot fix. And listen, I know this is simple, but don't let it be too simple, because the answer, church, is still bringing it into the presence of Jesus. Because if mountains melt like wax before him, what will your issue do in his presence? There's nothing too big for him. There's nothing too hard for them. And listen, there's a difference between listening to church and hearing. The Bible says, let he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And I understand that sometimes when the heart is sick, it can be difficult to hear. But if you will position yourself to hear what the Spirit is saying to you, then you'll leave here with some more faith than when you came in. Hearing is up to you. God can put an anointing on me to help you hear. The Bible says that there's an anointing that helps us hear God. There's an anointing, like I hear some ministers preach and teach, and I hear all kinds of stuff from God. I hear God speaking to me and blowing things up on the inside of me, and then I'll listen to others, and it's not quite the same. And it doesn't mean that they're both not valuable, but some ministers have an anointing to help you hear things from God. Do you know we can believe God for a stronger anointing in this pulpit, whoever stands behind it, that there'd be such an anointing to help you hear that you leave not hearing a preacher, you leave hearing God. That's what the devil doesn't want. He don't care if you hear a preacher. He cares that if you hear God, things change. Amen. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his words remain forever. When you hear from heaven, I'm telling you, that is empowerment. Listen, God's word is not just communication. God's word is also empowerment. Amen. Amen. So you want to make sure that you're hearing what the Spirit is saying and not saying, Jason, I'm just going to wait to hear you get to the good part. No, listen, I want you to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. No matter what you've been dealing with, come on, you can still bring that issue to Jesus. Maybe the reason why we haven't seen more progress in that area is because we stopped really bringing honestly the issues to Jesus. What if this morning we could honestly bring the issues that are dealing? Have you even asked yourself, what's wrong with me? Not too many. We're like, I'm perfect. I'm good. I'm good. I'm in church. I'm supposed to look like I have it all together. Man, I have found out God can't help fake. God can't help fake. God helps honest. God touches humility and honesty. And so what if we brought our issues to Jesus right now in this service? Honestly, in our heart, you think of you think of what's going on inside of you that needs Jesus' help. Those issues that have been paralyzed, there's those issues that are not functioning. You bring those this morning into his presence and you lay them before him. Say, Jesus, these are the areas that are hurting. These are the areas that I need your supernatural help. And this morning, for a few moments, lay them at his feet during this message and see what he can do. Jesus is still saying, bring the issues to me. Don't hold on to them. Don't think I can't fix them. Don't think because it hasn't been fixed yet that it can't be fixed. Just keep bringing the issue to me. Here's what God told me. He said, some of you have been discouraged because it hasn't happened yet. But God says, just keep bringing the issue into his presence and it's going to change. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Here's what God's saying to me when I was reading this. Paralyzed emotions, marriages, finances, paralyzed minds, careers are going to start functioning again if you will bring them into the presence of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not going to try to hype you up, but I'm telling you, God spoke this to me last night. So you can either believe it, you can either believe that you receive it, or you can choose not to. But I'm telling you, what I found out is that when people believe, God works. Hallelujah. Let me say it again. Paralyzed marriages, paralyzed finances, emotions, minds, careers are going to start functioning again if you will bring them into the presence of Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Here's what God told me. He said, bring the paralysis, any area of your life that is paralyzed and not functioning. Bring it into the presence of Jesus, hear me, and keep it there until the paralysis is evicted. Hallelujah. Bring it into the presence of Jesus and keep it there until the paralysis is evicted. Here's one thing I know. There's not room for your issues and God's fullness inside of you. If we will come into the presence of Jesus and desire his fullness will evict everything that is not of him. Here's what God said to me. Here's what God said to me. He said, eviction notices are being served this weekend. Is anybody listening to me? I said, eviction notices are being served this weekend. Eviction notices to depression, addiction, sickness, disease. Get ready. Eviction notices are being served this weekend. Hallelujah. So this week, this month, the devil may say, see, I told you it didn't work. Say, shut up, devil. Sometimes it takes a month for tenants to go, but eviction notices are being served this weekend. Can anybody get in faith with me and believe that eviction notices are being served? Come on, somebody ought to receive it this weekend. Whatever needs to leave, I received the eviction notice this morning, and my life won't be the same. Come on, if you believe it, give God a shout of praise in here this morning. Hallelujah. That was more like a whisper, but we'll work with it. We'll work with it. Give the Lord a whisper of praise this morning. Here we go. All right, so then, I love this. Verse 5, Jesus said this. He said, which is easier for me to say your sins be forgiven or for me to say rise, take up your bed and walk? I love this because Jesus didn't say which is harder. Jesus said which is easier. So I love this, that what the enemy had spent so long working on and trying to make difficult for this life. I need you to picture this, that the enemy had worked so long and for so many years on this individual, and Jesus shows up and said, which is harder, for me to tell him that his sins are forgiven or for me to say, rise, take up your bed and walk? Jesus didn't say which one's harder. He said which one's easier. In other words, Jesus said, devil, what you've been working on for years, for me, it's easy. For me, it's easy. For me, those crazy teenagers, it's easy. For me, that financial situation, it's easy. For me, whatever it is you're dealing with, for me, it's easy. I need you to believe that it's easy and believe that I can do it for you. Hallelujah. He said, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my burden is easy and my yoke is light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone say light and easy. Someone say light and easy. I'm telling you, God's word to you is no matter where you've been, it's not too late to arise. Someone say arise. For those of you that have been down and been beaten down by life and have had horrible things happen to you, God says today he's going to empower you to arise. Others of you that have been going well, things have been going pretty well, God says it's time for you to rise up to another level. So no matter where you are in your walk with God, this word is prophetic to you. Get ready to go higher. Hallelujah. 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 I told you it'd be easy for me to preach, but I'm just going to try to get through some of this. All right. So Jesus said, he said, arise and go to your house. And the man arose and went to his house. And the Bible says, verse 8, the multitude saw it, they marveled, and they magnified God. I believe that God is empowering us to arise, that God is empowering us to see the miracles happen in our life, just like a miracle happened in this man's life. And the Bible says that the multitude saw it, they marveled, and they magnified God. What if Salinas saw miracles happening through this church, and all of a sudden they started marveling and magnifying God? Come on, what if your unsaved family members begin to see the miracle in your life, and they marveled, and they magnified God? Come on, I came to prophesy. No longer are you going to marvel at the devil's badness in your life, but the world's going to begin to marvel at God's goodness in your life, and they're going to magnify their God. Come on, can anybody believe with me in Salinas that we're going to see a move of God that even causes unbelievers to marvel? Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, so God is saying to us, it is time to arise. One more time, shout arise. Wherever you are, every time you say arise, we are prophesying to our future. We're going higher in Him. I said, we are going higher in Him. New levels of glory, new levels of anointing, new levels of resources. I prophesy over this church. This word is not just a declaration to you. This word is a prophetic declaration over this church. This church is getting ready to rise. Hallelujah. We're going to rise in anointing. We're going to rise in the glory of God. We're going to rise in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're going to rise in people being saved. We're going to rise in people being healed. We're going to rise in resources. We're going to rise in capacity. We're going to rise in capability. We're going to rise in outpouring. We're going to rise and seeing people transform. Is anybody ready to see this church rise? Hallelujah. The thing about this church rising is that God never raises a church without raising His people. And so I'm prophesying to you and your family, get ready for God to bring you higher. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. It's time to arise out of depression, arise out of confusion, arise out of defeat, arise out of hurt, arise out of anger and pain, arise out of the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because God is with me. My rod and my staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. He prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with fresh oil. Yea, though I walk through the valley, I'm not going to stay in the valley. The devil says, you're losing. It's hard right now. It's ugly right now. Say, shut up, devil. It may be this way right now, but I'm walking through it. Hallelujah. I came to prophesy to somebody. You're not going to stay in your problem. You're not going to stay in your pain. You are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And it may feel like death, but I came to prophesy. It's only a shadow. Hallelujah. And a shadow can't hurt anybody. Someone say arise. Hallelujah. And I declare we will see total victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Micah 7:8, do not rejoice over me, my enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. I said, when I fall, I shall arise. The devil wants you to meditate on that you have fallen and you've missed it. You have made mistakes. You have failed. And because of that, you are paying the consequences. God, listen, even if you did fall, even if the devil did attack you, even if he did jack up your life, listen, I'm tired of giving him free advertisement. Come on, we're not going to talk about what the devil's doing and how bad it is. We're going to start talking about how awesome our God is. And yeah, I may have fallen, and devil, you may have attacked me, but when I fall, I shall arise. Somebody say yes. Hallelujah. I may have fallen. I may have made mistakes. Everyone may have given up on me and counted me out, but when I fall, I shall arise. Hallelujah. Proverbs 24:16, a righteous man falls 7 times and shall rise again. No matter how long you've been down and how many times you've fallen, you can still rise again. You remember back in the day those toys that you would blow up? They were inflatable, and you'd blow them up, and they had a weight on the bottom, and you could punch it, and it would pop right back up. You could kick it, and it would pop back up. I used to want to show it who was boss, and I would start getting mad, so mad, I'd kick it as hard as I could, it'd fly across the room, get airborne, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that's right, who's your daddy now, you know? I get so mad, boom, and it'd fly across the room and hit the wall. And it had a big old weight on the bottom. So when it would hit the wall, it almost put holes. Holes were not unfamiliar in my room as a kid, you know. Like how'd that hole get there? I don't know. But I knew I had just, like, thrown something into the wall. I mean, I was a crazy kid. I used to throw ninja stars into our fence. You know what I mean? I could have killed a kid. Seriously. Just don't put this on podcast so kids can't listen to it. Hallelujah. I was a bit crazy. I did some stuff. I almost lit our house on fire. I was kind of a crazy, crazy kid. I poured gasoline on caps that you put in guns and took a hammer to it and lit that thing on fire. And there was a PG&E guy up on a pole that had to come down and tell my dad. Y'all don't know his struggle. Y'all thought you knew. Y'all don't know his struggle. Right? He didn't tell you about the time they brought me home in a cop car when I was like 6. I was a felon at 6. I could write a rap. No, about to spit bars on bars. No, just like, what? Like, I was a thug at 6 years old. You know what I'm saying? Growing up in the hood, 831, lasting, cuz. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, straight up white boy from Compton. No, I'm just playing. Like, listen, man, it was crazy. I did some crazy stuff, but I used to fight that thing and kick that thing and throw it. But every time I did it, it would just pop back up. Just pop back up. And so finally, I would do everything I could, and no matter what I did, that thing just popped right back up. And this should be a picture of every believer. When the enemy throws what he has at you, you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The reason why that thing popped back up is because it had something inside of it. By yourself, you can't come back from what the devil did to you. By yourself, you can't pop back up. By yourself, you can't arise. But because there's someone living on the inside of you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And I came to prophesy the devil may have taken his best shot, but you're about to pop right back up. You may be bleeding, but you're going to pop right back up. May have a black eye, but you're going to pop right back up. May have some scars, but I'm going to pop right back up. Through tears, but I'm going to pop right back up. Is anybody ready to arise? Hallelujah. So much for teaching. Hallelujah. You can teach. You could teach and be vocal. That's kind of what I'm doing, I think, tonight. But this morning, tonight, I don't know, next week. I don't know what time it is. Hallelujah. All right, here we go. Here we go. You've heard this before, but God turns setbacks into comebacks. God turns your mess into your message. And God will turn your test into your testimony. Because God is a God who says, no matter what you've been through, I can still cause you to rise above it. Somebody say, arise. Come on, you remember in horror movies, the bad guy just keeps getting back up. I remember being like, I'm telling you, I was traumatized. I was traumatized. My parents tried to keep us from all things unholy, except for Star Wars. That was the soundtrack of my childhood. My dad, we didn't have a lot of money. We was broke. We were so broke we couldn't pay attention, you know? We was broke. I remember opening the fridge, it's like, oh good, there's butter in there, you know what I mean? So maybe I'll melt some and drink it, you know, I don't know. Right? So we were broke, man. We didn't have much, you know. And so we had a little TV, and you know, we had a jacked up, you know, it was a jacked up TV where you got like a hanger, you know what I mean? Like, put that in the back, make your own antenna, go ghetto. We went hood, you know what I'm saying? Like, y'all don't know, man. And so we did that. We had like an antenna on back of it, and I'm talking back in the day where it wasn't that long ago. It was just we had such a jacked up TV that it was like 1989, and we had a TV from like 1967. You know what I'm saying? And so the knobs had broken off. So instead of knobs, we went and got some pliers. Talking about we innovative up in here. We about to click. And we got the ones that you could just click it and it would stay on there. So it was like, you know, it was like. Yeah, my wife's like, I didn't even have no pliers, you know. So, oh, y'all don't know, man. My wife could tell you stories. But anyway, so we had this, and my daddy would just, we didn't have no money for cable, and we got like 2 access channels, that was it, and they were kind of fuzzy, so it looked like popcorn. So we had cousins that recorded like every movie illegally. No, okay, I'm not just playing, but anyway, but And so they had movies, man. So he'd go over there and he'd get Star Wars. And I'm telling you, we just put Star Wars in. And when it ended, we just rewind, just play it again. like that's what we watched on TV. And so that's, I don't know how I got over here. Yeah, that's it. So we didn't have many channels. So we're watching Star Wars. That's what we're watching. Jabba the Hutt, craziness. I got dreams and stuff flying in my room and stuff. I mean, it's just my childhood. It's what's going on in the house. And so that was our TV. We didn't have any other channels. But somehow we got a channel that had Friday the 13th. And my dad always told me, son, if you watch that, it's not good. Don't watch that. It opens a door. And I was like, pfft, opens a door. Seriously, it's a movie. Just like y'all. You come to church and be like, watch your eye gate. Like, whatever. And then you're like 47-year-old man, like shaking in your sheets. You know what I mean? Oh, my God, I shouldn't have watched it. You know? Pastor was right. Forgive me, Lord. Right? And so we watched, I shouldn't say we, I watched that, and it was crazy because every time, it was like these kids, and they're always out in like the most remote place in the world, you know what I mean? Like, how are you ever going to get saved? If he don't kill you, you're going to die of hunger, you know what I mean? Like, you're just so far away from everybody, but they're on this, and like, they get away, they kill them. I mean, they knife this and sword this and gun shot him, dropped him off of cliffs, and then you're like, oh, we're fine, we're good, we're so, thank God, we're so good. Oh my God, I think I saw his pinky move. Come on, y'all know these movies I'm talking about. Like, hey, what do we do? And they're like, let's go hide behind the chainsaws, you know what I mean? Like, crazy. I always do the dumbest thing in the world, right? But no matter what they did to that guy, he just kept getting back up. This was a horror movie that terrified people for years. And the reason why is because the devil gave that to somebody, inspired somebody to make it, because the devil remembers when he thought that he'd killed Jesus. He thought that he had killed Jesus. He said, we did it. We put nails in his hands. We put nails in his feet. We put thorns in his head. We gave him 59 lashes. And then we put him in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. And now we can throw a party because the Son of God is now dead. And all of a sudden, when they're doing that, all of a sudden hell began to shake. And they began to be terrified because the very one that they had tried to kill was now there to go ahead and defeat them, strip them, and take his keys back. I'm telling you, Jesus got back up, and because he got back up, we can get back. Someone say arise. Yeah, man. Still scare as hell when they throw everything they have at you, and it looks like you're bleeding, knocked down for the count, but you get up again. Someone say get up again. Wow. All right. So it's one thing to celebrate a promise. It's another thing to experience the promise. It's one thing to celebrate a truth from God's word. It's another thing to experience that truth. And so I believe I've given you the proclamation from heaven. I believe the proclamation from heaven is get ready to arise. Get ready to go higher than you've been before. Can somebody agree with that? Say yes. All right. So I believe I've given you the proclamation. But now I want to give you the instruction. How do you do it? How do you arise? Number one. We're going to pull all of these from Jesus' words. Number one, Jesus said, son, cheer up. Someone say cheer up. Cheer up because your sins have been forgiven. This right here is worth all of us celebrating, dancing wildly, shouting to the top of our voice because our sins have been forgiven. And this is proof that we think we understand it mentally, but we don't believe it. Because if we really believed our sins were forgiven, there would be such a sense of freedom and celebration in us, because no matter what I have done, Jesus paid the price for my sins to be forgiven. Is anybody grateful that our sins have been forgiven? Hallelujah. Cheer up, Jesus says. Your sins are forgiven you, whatever you have done. Check it out. No matter how many times you have fallen, whatever shame, embarrassment, and condemnation you have been fighting, Jesus said, forget it. Cheer up because your sins have been forgiven. Past, present, and future. Forgiven. Someone say forgiven. Your name is forgiven. Your name is accepted. Your name is adopted. Your name is loved. Your name is beloved. You are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. And what He has called clean, nobody can call unclean. Is anybody grateful that your sins have been washed away? Oh, God in heaven. Like, the provoking part of me right now just wants to be like, we're going to stay on this until we're all shouting and on our feet. Because we don't believe it, Tyler. We don't believe we're forgiven. Because if we believed we were forgiven, it would change the way we pray. The Bible said He was made sin so we could be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Check it out. He became so you could become. Oh, God in heaven. Check this out. Y'all ready for this? Y'all don't seem ready. Y'all ready for this? You ain't ready. No, you're ready. I feel it. Back in the day, Jesus is called the Lamb of God. I feel like preaching. Turn that clock off. I'm just playing. Hallelujah. Back in the day, in the Old Testament, Jesus is called, and in the New Testament, Jesus is called the Lamb of God. Is that right? Jesus is called the Lamb of God. And the Bible says that in the book of Revelation, in the heavenly scene, the elders are falling down saying, "Worthy is the Lamb, slain before the foundation of the world. Worthy is the Lamb to receive glory and honor and riches and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb forevermore." Someone say it. Say, "Worthy is the Lamb." So back in the day when you sinned, you had to get a perfect, spotless lamb. And you had to bring the lamb to the tabernacle. And when you got to the tabernacle, God, I feel the anointing, then the priest would inspect the lamb. And if the lamb was perfect and spotless, then he would say, "Now you can present this lamb for sacrifice." Then the sinner who brought the lamb would lay his hand on the lamb's forehead. And all of the sin of the sinner would be imparted into the lamb. And then the blessing and the favor and the perfection of the lamb would be imparted to the sinner. So they said the lamb took the place of the sinner and took the sin of the sinner, and the sinner got the place and the position and the perfection of the lamb. So it wasn't a question of how perfect the sinner was. It was a question of how perfect your lamb was. And you may not know it, but that's why Jesus is called the Lamb of God. Because there was a lamb that came 2,000 years ago. He was perfect. He was sinless. Can somebody help me preach Jesus in here? He was perfect and he was sinless and he was spotless. And he took your place on the cross. And he said, "Everything that I have, I now give to them. And I will take from them their sin. I will take from them their sickness. And what I am is now theirs. And what they are is now mine." The Jesus took my place on the cross. And he said, "Now you are forgiven." Hallelujah. Someone say, "Cheer up." Come on, it's not a question of how perfect you are. It's a question of how perfect your lamb is. He's the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world so that we could be forgiven. So we could come into his presence knowing I am free and I am forgiven and I am clean. He was made sin so I could be made the righteousness of God. I am not kind of righteous. I am the same righteousness as God. God in heaven. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says the prayers of righteous men and women availeth much. The prayers of righteous men, and when some of you goes, "Well, then I can't make tremendous power available because I'm not righteous." No, you are. You just don't know it. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. When you pray, there's no difference between you praying and Jesus praying as far as your righteousness is concerned. Hallelujah. All right. So number one, someone say, "Cheer up. Cheer up. Come on, say it like you mean. Say, cheer up. My sins are forgiven. Number one, before you get up, before you rise to new levels, we are going to have to be convinced that our sins have been washed away. That God can use us not because of what I have done, but because of what He has done. Amen. God can bless me. Some of you don't feel like you're worth God's blessings. You're not worthy. By yourself, you're not worthy. You're as guilty as they come. In fact, you're filthy. I like some of my police people, some of my law enforcement, some of my military people. They say, yeah, tell us like it is. I'm like, my God, I wish everybody was like that. Hallelujah. They're like, you keep me awake. I'm like, all right, hallelujah. You're filthy. I'm filthy. Our righteousness is as filthy rags before. You're not worthy by yourself. But thank God you are not by yourself. I said, you are not by yourself. You have an advocate with the Father, and He has moved inside of you, and He has made you worthy. Hallelujah. So your actions and sin have not made you unworthy. You are worthy regardless. You just have to come to God and repent for what you've done wrong. I said this in the second service. Your sin does not change your righteousness. Your sin does not change your position with your Father. You are a son and a daughter of God, whether you sin or whether you don't. Your sin will separate you from fellowship with your Father. Amen? That's why when Adam sinned, severed his fellowship. Not on God's part. God is still fellowshipping with you. But sin blocks you from wanting to fellowship with your Father because of the shame, the condemnation, and the guilt. And so before you get that out in the open before your Father, your fellowship is hindered because of, come on somebody. But your position and your righteousness have not changed. Amen. This does not empower you to sin. This empowers you to not sin. And when I sin, Ryan, when I sin, Alan, I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are forgiven. We are righteous. And when we pray, heaven listens because of what God made us to be. This is why the Bible says we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. Amen. A holy nation. A peculiar people. Come on, peculiar people. Shout when they go to church. Peculiar people worship God like He's a big deal. Peculiar people believe the best when it looks like it's bad. Hallelujah. Amen. Peculiar people give when they don't have very much. Because it's peculiar, because the kingdom is an upside down kingdom. We give when we need to receive. We forgive before we see the actions change. Come on, somebody. We bless when other people do harm to us. Oh, God. Bible says, love those who hate you. Do good to those who harm you. And bless and pray for those who spitefully use you. That's not normal. What's normal is, you mess with me, homie, I will go loco right now. About to lose my salvation up in this piece. Come on, you've heard Christians like, I ain't that saved. Like, but man, it's beautiful when someone does you harm, and instead of, you know, holding your hand up and say, read between the lines. Y'all don't catch that one? Saying you're number one, right? Instead of doing that, instead of being so overwhelmed by wanting to get back, man, they do you harm and you can just, Lord, bless them. I pray for them. I don't know what they're going through, but they're obviously going through something. Send a laborer across their path. Holy Spirit, minister to their heart. Man, come on, somebody. All right, that's number one. I only gave you number one. Hallelujah. All right. And seems as though me taking a little longer on number one is frowned upon. No, I'm just kidding. Here we go. Number two. Someone say number two. Jesus said, arise. Someone say arise. When I read that, God said this. He said, Jason, this speaks of a change in posture. A change in position. If we are going to arise into what God has for us, we are going to have to be willing to change our posture. What do you mean? Change our posture in prayer. Change our posture in faith. Change our position in worship. Change our position in serving and loving. I don't know what God's asking you to change. Change our position in our attitude. Come on, somebody. We're not going to be able to rise up if we're Debbie Downers. Right? Glasses half empty, all that kind of stuff. Come on, we've all been there, and sometimes it can feel overwhelming. But if we're going to let God bring us up and we're going to rise up, we're going to have to be people who change our posture as far as our attitude, who have an attitude of love and of faith. Somebody say amen. I don't know what God's telling you to change, but I do know he's telling you to change. Y'all think I'm ending a message? I'm saying some stuff right here that's from heaven. Look at me. I know God's telling you to change things in your life. You know why? Because he's always telling all of us to change. We're not Christ. So that means there's always change to be made. And every change that we obey him in, life gets higher. I expected there to be a little bit more yes in that, but that's okay. That's okay. Every change we make allows God to take us a little higher. Rising up is really about you us positioning ourselves appropriately before him, and then he lifts you higher. The Bible says he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand, and he will exalt you. What if we stopped trying to exalt ourselves and started humbling ourselves under his mighty hand? So number two. We change our position, change our posture, change what the Lord's asking us to change. How do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, God's asking you to do whatever it is, and whatever it is, I encourage you to do it because I believe it'll lead to God taking you higher. Number three, Jesus said to the man, take up your bed, take up your bed, take up your bed. And when I read that, here's what God said. He said, this is an example of this. Do what the devil tells you is impossible. Come on, somebody. Do what the devil tells you is impossible. This guy was paralyzed, and Jesus showed up and said, get up. He's like, well, Jesus, I don't know if you knew this, but, like, I'm paralyzed. I would love to get up, Jesus, but my legs, they're not functioning. I'm on this bed, right? You see this bed? They carried me on this bed because I can't walk. I've tried 1,000 times to get up, but I really can't because I'm paralyzed. I don't know if you caught that. Right? No, he didn't say any of that. He just chose, Kim, to change his posture. He chose to do what the devil had told him was impossible. What has the devil told you is impossible? It's time to go do it. Someone say, do it. The second thing, now listen, guys, listen. I hope you're listening for revelation here, man. Number three, take up your bed. First, the first thing the Lord gave me about from that phrase is do what the devil tells you is impossible. Number two is this. Dismantle what makes the dysfunction comfortable. Some of you are catching this. Dismantle. Jesus said, take up your bed. The thing that used to make the dysfunction comfortable for you, get rid of it. Dismantle the thing that makes the dysfunction comfortable. There are things in our lives that the Lord will lead us to do that makes the dysfunction uncomfortable. And when that happens, you won't leave with the dysfunction. You'll leave without it. Jesus said, take up your bed. Dismantle the thing that made the dysfunction comfortable. Somebody say amen. And the third thing God said to me about that is get rid of the excuses. Him saying, take up your bed, is get rid of that excuse. Get rid of that. One thing I found out is that if you wake up and don't renew your mind, there is a recording of excuses of why you can't go forward, why you can't be better, and why you shouldn't care to be better, and why it's too hard. Come on, somebody. There is a recording programmed by the devil. The Bible says that your mind is at enmity against God. That's why the mind must be renewed. That's why I read my Bible. If I don't read my Bible, my mind will not side with God. My mind will war against God. Someone say reason. Your mind, reason, will keep you from believing God. It's not reasonable to believe that God will meet your needs. In the natural. Like, people think we are nuts. Right? Like, you're going to give your money to the church? No, I'm giving to God. And he's a supernatural God. And when I give it to him, he brings it back to me, pressed down, shaken together. Like, you try to tell somebody that without the anointing, without God there to help them, they're going to go, you are nuts. They don't realize that investing in the king's dominion, the kingdom, is a way better investment than investing in the Dow and the Jones. Come on, somebody. They don't realize that my kingdom never, never decreases. It's always increasing. They don't understand this. It's not reasonable. But your mind will reason you, give you reasons why you can't serve, give you reasons why you can't tithe, give you reasons why you can't believe, give you reasons why you shouldn't walk in love with your husband or wife, give you reasons why your kids are going to hell. Come on, somebody. And with every reason, with every excuse why it can't happen, I either listen. Here's what God said. He said, you'll either believe the excuses or believe what I've told you. And listen, you get up and you start listening to that recording that is not renewed. The Bible says the spirit of your mind renewed. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed. Notice that. Conformed, conformity comes from no renewal. Conformity to the world. Looking like, y'all listening to me? Looking like the world, acting like the world is a result of not renewing your mind. Be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing. So I'm either conformed, there's two choices. I'm either conformed to the world, doubt, unbelief, ungodliness, or I am transformed by the renewing of my mind. Faith, victory, triumph, favor. Come on, somebody. All right, so, kept you about 5 minutes over, you're going to be okay. Hallelujah. All right, number four, last one. Jesus said, cheer up, sins are forgiven, number one. Number two, arise, change your posture. Number three, take up your bed, dismantle what's been keeping the dysfunction comfortable. Get those excuses out of the way. And number four, now get up and go to your house. Go to your house. And when I said, God, I was just asking God, why did you tell him to go back to his house? This is what he said. He said, I wanted him to model the miracle. I wanted him to model the miracle that I just did in his life. And here's the second thing God said to me. He said, I wanted him to turn the miracle into movement in his life. God doesn't give you a miracle for you to sit on it. God gives you a miracle so you can move with it. Turn your miracle into movement. If God were to empower you to rise up, would you move forward with him in your life? Here's what God said to me in the second service. Some people haven't seen the miracle because they're too dependent on other people carrying them. Turn the miracle into movement. The last thing God showed me about this is he said this. He said, use the miracle God has given you to alleviate the workload of others. Use the miracle God has given you to alleviate the workload of others. Remember these men? Listen, they carried this man to Jesus. And when Jesus gave this man the miracle, the men that carried him there didn't have to carry him home. When God does things in our life, other people should no longer have to carry us. God says, if you will alleviate the workload of other people, you're going to see the miraculous in your life. Someone say arise. Hallelujah. Bow your heads, please. Close your eyes. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, on the count of three, I want you to lift your hand and we'll pray with you and we'll pray for you. Secondly, you say, you know what? I've known Jesus, but I'm far from him. On the count of three, I want you to lift your hand and we're going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you. Either one of those invitations, Jesus is here right now with an unending love, with unending grace. And he is for you. He is in your corner. That's you on the count of three. Just lift your hand. We're going to pray with you. One, two, three. Lift them up. Thank you. 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 Anybody else says, yes, that's me. Pray with me. Hallelujah. God, I thank you for every hand. Come on, everybody in this place, let's pray this prayer together. Say this. Say, Father God, forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus Christ died and was raised for my salvation. I confess Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. By your grace and with your help, I turn away from my old ways and I turn to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's rejoice for every decision that was made. Hallelujah.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.